I'm sure they're already aware of that.
If he lets it go through, the umpire will walk right to him and say, who in the hell do you think you are? We just broke your deal right now. The next time one of us throw you a ball and you let it go, you're out of the game. You're out of the game. He'll put that in just to assure my name is you, Alexander. And he's not a nut.
No.
This kid is not a nut. He is. We traded for him. He's in Puerto Rico. He's the player of the whole country of the whole island.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody just flocks to the ballpark to see him go through all that bullshit. But he can pitch. He's 9-1 with earned run average of less than one over there this winter. Latest records come out. Kirk Wendell, remember the name?
Okay, will do.
Everybody says he's nutty. I said, I don't believe he's nutty. I think he's just eccentric, or maybe he does that. Maybe puts it on purpose. Damn fun.
Mm-hmm. Did you let anybody else use your ball bat?
Anybody use my bat?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Most hitters like that?
Well, today they slowed down a little bit on that. I mean, they all, like if...
I know Ted Williams, he had his bat special made. You go down there to Louisville, and he said he could notice a 1/4 of an ounce difference in a bat.
Frank Ryan told me, he used to be the man for Hill, Rich, and Badsby, Louisville Slugger.
Uh-huh.
He's retired now.
Yeah.
He's over at Sarasota. And he was the...
What's his name?
Frank Ryan. And he was Frank Ryan.
Oh, R-Y-A, okay.
And he was the big league representative for Hill, Rich, and Bradsby. Worked for him for years and years and years. He furnished all the bats for all the ball players and all that. And he told me that they got an order from the Red Sox in a phone call or a telegram. Get overnight bats made for Ted Williams. So... the guy made them that night in the factory or that afternoon, and they're going to get them out first thing in the morning so he can have them that day, the next day. Made 12. Anyway, they make a bat pretty fast,
Yeah.
And Frank Ryan told me, he told the guy that's on the lathe, make one bat, one of those bats, 1/2 ounce lighter. 1/2 ounce. Whatever his was, 35 or something. Yeah. Make one bat. 1/2 ounce. I want to make a test with Mr. Williams. And Frank Ryan delivered them the next morning in the ballpark in Boston. And he's taking them out of the box. There's 12 bats going in a box, Yeah, that's good. Pretty soon he got that one and it had some kind of little mark on it somewhere. Mm-hmm. It's awesome. So good. He could tell that half ounce.
Well, heard Joe DiMaggio, whenever he'd come in the dugout, he'd always clip his foot against the top stead of the dugout, and I've heard all kinds of stories.
He does all those kinds of things. I had signed a contract with Louisville Slugger in 36, and I got $25, and I got two bats for doing that. That's all right. So, they're my bats. They belong to me. They don't belong to the club. Mm-hmm. They're mine. Got my name on him, Hugh Red Alexander, my signature, and so on and so forth. And we're in a beer joint one night. Blas Bonaco was our second baseman.
Blas Bonaco?
Yeah, you remember him?
Oh, yes, you bet. Played for Kansas City Blues, second base.
That's him. He was on the club, and he was around here. But anyway, he and I in this beer joint, and we got a couple of gals. I'll never get that. And we didn't have any money.
Uh-huh.
We might have had $1 or $2 in our pocket. So we run out of money. Now, we think we're going to get to go to bed with these two gals. But we don't have any more money to buy any more beer. And Ted Wicklin, a ball player, just signed in June out of Missouri University or somewhere, was up at the bar having a beer. And I knew he had money. He was a left fielder and I was a center fielder. And I really helped him when he joined the ball club, run down balls for him and take them and all that. So I said, I'll go up there and I'll borrow $5 from Ted Wicklin. And I said, that's somebody who loaned it to me because I helped him in left field all the time. Monaco, he said, boy, that's a good idea. So I went to Wicklin at the bar, and I said, how about loaning Blas now $5? We'll pay you back for payday. He looked at me, and he said, yeah, I'll loan you $5, because he had gotten $1,000 bonus or something we heard. He said, I'll loan you $5, and payday you pay me back $6. And give me one of those bats you got. I said, go fuck. Screw yourself. So I go back and I said, somebody wants one of my bats. I said, I'll give one of those bats away. But the more we sat there with those two gals, finally I said, okay, so I'll go back. I said, okay, give me the five. We'll pay you back six. Payday. And you can have one of the bats. You know, I'm kind of like a carpenter. Mm-hmm. I sell my goddamn hammer or saw for some gal. And then I'm sending myself the next day, I go to the ballpark, and he took the bat, one of the bats. And I said, I hope I don't break that other one.
Sure.
So here I am out selling my tools.
Yes, yeah, right, tools of the trade.
For some gal. But anyway, that.
Last story I want to, because we talked about it, and it was a good one, was about Jack Prince. You know, ball players are always trying to outpsych some other their opponent.
Right.
And you had mentioned about Jack Prince hiding snakes in his uniform and going down
Jackie
to
the Price.
Jackie Price. Cleveland Indians?
They would. He would put that snake around his stomach. They're little snakes about that long. He'd put it around here and button, unbutton, who goes by. And he'd walk up to you a lot of time, even before he'd go down to pitch it. Bullpen. He'd love to walk up to you, and all at once you jump back because that snake's got his head right out of that button, where that button's supposed to be.
Take your concentration off the game, wouldn't it?
Sure would. And he turned a bunch of them loose one night in a Pullman car. Had snakes had them in a shoebox.
Yeah. Oh, the practical jokers. Q, thank you very much for another fantastic interview, and every success in the new season.
Good, thanks.
And,
I appreciate that.
I'll be watching the Cubs real close, like.
That's good.
Okay. I'll let maybe you have some comments that you want for the record. Here, if you know, you've been around some of the fantastic managers, theorists of baseball, Paul Richards, Branch Rickey. Great Dodger organization.
Billy Martin. One of the smartest one I ever ran across, or maybe not to use the word smart, but one of the real good managers. I know he had some good clubs. I know about all the Yankee clubs. Mm-hmm. Casey Stengel, they used to talk about Casey Stengel being a clown, you know, and double talk and all that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. He was a hell of a manager. A lot of people say, well, he couldn't manage the Brooklyn Dodgers. He finished last. Yeah, because that's because he had a bad club.
Yeah.
Because he couldn't beat anybody way back in those days. But, boy, I'll tell you, he was some kind of a manager. Because I've talked to too many people like Mickey Mantle, Hank Bauer, especially Hank Bauer. And like Hank told me, he said, Casey told him one time, he said, the one thing I really don't like in baseball, and all the ball players are in the dugout, he said, I don't like a ball player that takes one swing at the bat and makes two outs. Talking about a double play.
Yeah.
I don't like a ball player that takes one swing at the bat and makes two outs. How about that?
You wouldn't think. Sounded real simple, like, didn't it?
It really
and
simple.
To the point.
And Hank Bauer has told me, because Hank Bauer is a great friend of mine, and we sit and drink, you know, the wee hours of the morning sometimes. We used to. And he would talk about how tough Stengel was. Real tough. Looked like a little mild little man, you know. But he said, you know about tough. He was really a tough little guy. But there's a great one. John McGraw and Miller Huggins. And that's a great manager. Lopez. Al Lopez.
Al Lopez.
He was one of the great ones.
That's right. Lives right here in Tampa.
Sure does. Did you get most of what you needed?
I sure did. I appreciate it. Thank you very much, Hugh. Having this expertise, Mrs. Essex.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed being
Thank
here.
You. Thank you. It's time for lunch. Let's reassemble at 1:15 for the panel. If you wish to have a tape of these proceedings, if you will let Mrs. Ireland know, if by chance, and I don't want to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, that you leave early, there is an evaluation form in your packet. If you would kindly complete that and put it on the desk. Thank you.
Virginia, if you're scheduled for this, I invite you to call the panel after lunch.